Today we want to go back at resurrection evidences we can believe, because it's the very center and hope of us as Christians. If you want to really get into this, there's a couple of books by Josh McDowell, who wrote Evidences That Demand a Verdict. That is one book that I would recommend that everybody read, because standing firm on the resurrection is what it's all about. We may not stand firm on a lot of other things, but the resurrection is so absolutely important to us as Christians. Jesus predicted his resurrection. That's found in John 2:18 through 22, John 10:17 through 18, Matthew 16:21, and a whole lot more. So I just want you to get in your mind that Jesus predicted his resurrection on numerous occasions. And yet when it happened, the disciples left, along with others. Because the Son of God, because he was the Son of God, Jesus knew about his resurrection way back in John. He said he would be raised in 3 days, although the disciples did not understand very much about what he said. He also said in the Gospel of John that he controlled his life. I lay it down when I want to, and I pick it up when I want to. They didn't quite understand that either. I'm not sure we understand it very well. So Jesus predicted he would die from, that he would rise from the dead. Numerous times. So resurrection was just something that escaped their minds. And it pretty well escapes us too. We can all predict a resurrection. You could predict your resurrection. The problem is you don't have any way to make it come true. Jesus did. So it was possible for him to predict his resurrection and then to actually be raised from the dead. Anyone can make that prediction, but only Jesus Christ had the power, the Son of God, to bring it about in reality. Remember what Peter said when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter said. Jesus told his disciples for the first time that he must go to Jerusalem and that he would be put to death and that he would be raised on the third day. That was really hard for them to get a hold of. The disciples didn't expect a resurrection. Jesus really died and was buried. But the disciples did not expect a resurrection. In fact, they didn't expect that Jesus would be killed. I mean, they were with the Lord Jesus Christ on numerous occasions. They saw his power. They knew about the raising of Lazarus. They knew about him calming the seas. They knew about healing the lepers. They saw his power. For 3 years, They saw him powerfully do things that just really set them back. And so when it came to this idea that Jesus was dead, they couldn't believe it. How could anybody kill anybody who had the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's interesting, too, that the writer, boy, this is really interesting. You ladies will really get a kick out of this. Nobody in their right mind would have placed the women at the tomb first. That was not a thing that they would do, because women were considered inferior and considered that their testimony would be worthless. So the idea that they decided to say that these women came to the tomb first, wow. The disciples, of course, didn't believe them. They had to go check it out for themselves. And they did. And as I mentioned last week, after their checking it out, so to speak, they accepted that the body wasn't there. They didn't accept the resurrection, but they accepted that the body was gone. So the women saw him first. That was something that was just not done in that day. And the Jews tried to cover the whole thing up. How did they do that? With money. That's always the case. They decided that they would pay the soldiers a great deal of money. Some skeptics say that Jesus did not really die. Let me tell you, if you knew anything about the way the Romans killed somebody, you wouldn't even come to the conclusion that he just swooned and was taken to the tomb. By the time he was hung on the cross, he was so beat up that there was hardly any life left in him. And besides that, the Romans were experts at killing. They knew exactly how to execute someone. And they did it in such a way that they were in a great deal of pain and hurt. And then finally, their life was snuffed out. So there's no question about what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was dead. Dead on arrival. He was dead. And a couple of guys decided, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they wanted to prepare the body. Now, preparing a body in that day was an interesting situation. They had to have about 75 to 100 pounds of resin and spices. And they would put that in between the sheets. And then the resin and the spices would harden. And it was like a cocoon. Jesus was put in a cocoon. But the interesting thing is that the face cloth was perfectly folded and left where the face should have been. There's a reason for that. In rich Jewish homes, they used napkins. And if the master of the house was finished with his meal, he crumpled up the napkin, threw it by his plate, and it said to the servants, he's not coming back. But if he folded the napkin carefully and put it beside his plate, it said to the servants, he's coming back. We can't take his dinnerware. We are not finished serving him because he's coming back. And that's exactly what was in the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face cloth was perfectly folded. And it said to those who understood that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back. So even in the tomb, there was the message that Jesus would be back. And he did come back. Praise the Lord for that. So the gospel writers, by the Holy Spirit, gave us this information. The only possible conclusion is that Jesus, because of the way they buried him, he was done. He was actually dead on Friday evening. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out prematurely. He was dead. We need to understand that. But there was no body. If they could have found the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have all been over. Even today, if you have a situation, you have to have a body. But they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why didn't they hire a ton of Roman soldiers to go through the city, to go through the surrounding area, and look for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? They never found the body. They never will find the body. And the body will not be found today because Jesus Christ was resurrected. How important is that? I'm going to read a passage of scripture, and you may want to mark it in your notes if you're doing that. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is also useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. You get that? If there's no resurrection, everything hinges in Christianity on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Wow. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. So Paul lays out perfectly what it would be like if there is no resurrection. You being here today would be stupid. Singing these hymns would be ridiculous. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then we have no hope. We are in darkness. And we'll always be in darkness if there is no resurrection. So they prepared his body. But when the women went to the tomb, there was no body there. Now, they didn't believe that he had been resurrected. They simply wanted to know who had come and taken the body and what they had done with it. And the women said, we want to know. We want to go get him and take care of him. No fiction writer of that era would have ever said that the women saw him first. And remember what I said, the disciples didn't believe what the women had to say in any case. They believed in that day that the testimony of a woman was absolutely useless and to be really questioned and probably immediately determined that it was ridiculous to believe what any woman would say about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what were they going to do with an empty tomb? Well, here's one thing that they decided to do. They decided to pay the soldiers a great deal of money to say that the disciples came and picked up the body and put it away. So this stone is quite an object. The stone was rolled away. That wasn't a little tiny rock. It was probably 4 to 6 feet wide, weighed between 2 and 5 ton. So how in the world? Those women couldn't have done that. A couple of men, unless they were very, very strong, couldn't have done that. And there's preposition when you read that whole account that says it wasn't rolled away, it was picked up and moved. Well, the disciples couldn't do that. The Roman soldiers would not do that because they were paid to make sure that Jesus was dead and not resurrected. The Jewish leaders would be happy if Jesus was found to be dead and not alive. Nobody of that caliber would even try because they all wanted him dead. And the disciples didn't understand the resurrection, even though they were told on numerous occasions. That's why I read from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Without the resurrection, there's nothing for us. Reading the Bible is ridiculous, waste of our time, if there is no resurrection. And if you read the accounts of the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 chapters, 13 books of the New Testament, every time he opened his mouth or every time he used his pen, he emphasized the resurrection. Every time. He never missed a lick. It was always based upon the resurrection. And that should be us too. Everything that we say about Christianity should be based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if there is no resurrection, nothing really counts. They look for the body. They look for the body. They look for the body. If they'd ever found the body, it would have all been over. But they never did find a body. They looked, they hunted. And for 2,000 years, there's been no body, and there will be no body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well because of the resurrection. Who rolled the stone away? The disciples? No. The Roman guards would have stopped them if they had tried. The Jewish leaders wouldn't have moved the stone away, because they wanted him dead, for sure. They would not even have tried. The Romans, not likely. They had no motivation. And who would risk death to do such a thing? Because that the way that was sealed, the seal had to be broken by a Roman official. If anybody else tried it, they were dead. So who rolled the stone away? Who made it possible for those ladies to see angels? I believe it was God. Man didn't have the motzee to do that. The tomb was empty. No one ever found his body. They still look for his body, by the way. Once in a while, they'll bring on artifacts of some sort and say, well, maybe this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have never found a body. Jesus appeared to many for 40 days. That's an interesting thing. He didn't just appear for a minute or a few days. 40 days. And during that time, he appeared to the disciples. He appeared to them on numerous occasions. The disciples were transfixed, so to speak, by the fact that they actually ate with the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection. So for 40 days he was around. 2 days might have been suspect. But 40 days is a different thing. And he appeared to these disciples on many, many occasions. What made this possible? The grave clothes. It indicated that Jesus Christ was resurrected. And so he was able to go to these disciples and eat with those disciples and share with those disciples. And Thomas, who said, I won't believe a thing unless I put my hands in his wounds. And when Jesus appeared to Thomas, Thomas said, oh, my Lord and my God. He didn't even have to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. He could conclude that Jesus Christ was resurrected. It's such a matter of futility to keep looking for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll never be found because he was resurrected. And 40 days, that's a long time. And then finally, he was taken up into heaven, taken up into glory. Wow, Jesus was along the way. He appeared to, at one time, 500 people. How many people would Jesus have to appear to in 40 days to make people understand that he was resurrected and that there was no dead body to be found anyplace? Well, he did so. And after the 40 days, he was taken up into glory. The disciples were finally utterly transformed. After the crucifixion and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples were pretty wrapped up in themselves. They decided to go back to fishing. They were lackluster. They were just out of it, because they believed that it all ended with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, they didn't expect his death. Number two, they didn't expect any kind of a resurrection. So, what in the world made a difference in the disciples? It was the fact that they became acquainted with the resurrected Lord. And my goodness, they became the Billy Grahams of the first century. They went everywhere preaching the Word of God. You couldn't stop them from preaching the Word of God. They were such lackluster people after all that took place. But once they saw the resurrected Lord, it changed them 100%. And they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. And all of them, except for the Gospel of John, except for John, lost their lives because of the firm and powerful preaching that they committed themselves to and to the world. Wow. They didn't care about martyrdom. That didn't bother them at all. They were only interested in Christian evangelism. Here's the question. that what we're interested in? If you made a list of the things that you are interested in, where would Christian evangelism be on the list? Probably wouldn't be number one. Probably wouldn't even be number two. These guys turned the world upside down, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they lived for every day. When they woke up in the morning, how are we going to preach Christ and Him crucified? Who will we find? And they did that. And the scripture does say that they turned the world upside down. What made the difference? The only possible difference was that they saw the resurrected Christ. And seeing the resurrected Christ changed them totally from blah to excitement to preaching Christ and Him crucified. Every place they went, that was the message. And that's what we find in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Everything based on the resurrection. Let me tell you, if there is no resurrection, you're wasting your time here this morning. If there is no resurrection, forget it. That's all I can say. That's all that the scripture says. Do I believe Jesus died and rose again? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. We haven't visually seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We have spiritually, I think, seen Him through the Word of God. We have not personally seen the risen Lord. But we certainly have plenty of evidence to believe. And I can assure you that we are greatly blessed when we believe and kneel before the risen Lord like Thomas. We boldly declare, "Jesus, You are my Lord and my God." I don't know how much more evidence we need. There's tons of evidence. We haven't even scratched the surface. People have come up with the craziest ideas. Like the swoon theory. Jesus didn't die, He just swooned. Well, that's ridiculous. We know that that's not true. So they have come up with other theories. I didn't bring any of them up this morning. But the ultimate unanswered question remains. What about you? What about me? Am I willing to say, "My Lord and my God, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I trust that that describes you this morning. That number one on your list is preaching Christ and Him crucified. And when you send a card to somebody, include the resurrection. I mean, I don't know how to get it across, but the resurrection is everything. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. If the resurrection can be disproved, or if they can find the body, we're done. But they can't find the body and never will. Because Jesus Christ is in His body in glory, taken up in glory and being with His Father. So, if I haven't given you enough evidence to believe and to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, come and talk to me. Our closing hymn this morning is the same one that we have been using. Praise Lord. If we really believe that, let's sing it. If you don't believe it, don't sing it. Okay? Let's be standing.